Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, I have some terrible news.
Do you really? Or are you setting yourself up?
No, Brad, Kite Tails is going away.
No! Wait.
Kite Tails. Woo! It's gone.
I feel like you need to do a sad woo woo. Wah, wah,
wah, wah.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't say woo woo and be sad.
Right? Exactly. Honestly, when I saw this news story, I was like, it was still going on. Because
yeah.
that was kind of my feeling on it. I thought that it had already gone away.
It's been on its deathbed for a while, but September 30th, it's officially kaputsky.
So I'm wondering what comes next, right? Because we did the jet ski and kite thing at Epcot, right?
And it was great.
With Epcot Forever.
In the dark.
Correct. Yeah. So we did that. And then when the kites crash, it's in the dark, so it's all okay, right?
Right.
And they're no longer lit. Brilliant idea, Disney. Maybe something y'all should have used for Kite Tails. Dude, actually, wait. Would Kite Tails have worked better like that?
As a nighttime show?
If it had been darkened and, like, those big kites of characters were lit up.
So
all of a sudden you see the character flying through the air, and then the character disappears, and
yeah.
you never actually saw the character crash.
Yeah. I think we just made, like, a major breakthrough because, yes, lighting the kites from the inside and then having, like, turning them off when their big showpiece is done. And then even turning them back on later. Like, or if somebody deems, okay, that kite is about to crash, turn it off, you know? And then no one ever sees the kite go down. I think Kite Tails would have been a much more compelling show like that. Oops, I was making fun of Kite Tails and accidentally made it a really good show.
Right. Spoiler alert, we were talking in the pre-show about whether or not Animal Kingdom was still a half-day park, and we both kind of felt like it was, simply because neither of us feels like there's a lot to do after dark there mm-hmm. still, which I think could be part of what they're maybe looking to address with Dinoland, as I was thinking about it. But we just created the new nighttime show that they needed as well. So we also created something else to make Animal Kingdom a full day park. So
Kite Tails After Dark.
That sounds like it's going to be a whole other sort of show, and not one that I want my name associated with.
It's all the animals and then a bunch of flying toasters. You remember that screensaver pack from a long time ago? Back when you could get people to buy screensavers.
Right, because their screens needed to be saved. What about if instead of After Dark, because, you know, the connotations, what about if it was under new management? Because Disney's had really good luck with naming things under
Disney. Iago and Zazu come out. Hey, remember us?
we're finally going to fix this show.
We're serial entrepreneurs now.
Okay, but I honestly am realizing this in real time. Under new management ended after something caught fire, and we're talking about turning the lights on our kites. I see this suddenly ending really badly. And,
we're talking about putting electronics inside of kites.
Right. Maybe under new management having really just a really bad stigma attached to it after this.
Perhaps a worse connotation than After Dark.
Right. After the second time, anything under new management is...
We have not learned our lesson. We're doing this again.
So if two things caught on fire after being named under new management... Would Disney even be able to get insurance coverage on an attraction after they named it under, you know, if all of a sudden they said, it's the Country Bear Jamboree under new management.
Hear
the
me
insurance
out.
Company's like, no, guys, we
Let
know
me
what
finish.
That means.
Let me finish. We're not, this one's not going to burn down. What
right?
if I told you that? What if I told you this one won't burn down? What would you say?
What if I told you, I guarantee this one won't. Definitely. definitely won't burn down.
Bears are not flammable like birds are.
Those aren't flammable at all. And the new fire juggler bear that we added in.
You know, clumsy Carl, the fire juggling bear. Nothing will happen.
This is what the kids need to see, okay? This is the content they demand. Oh, man. But, yes, Kitels is going away. Yeah. Maybe in a blaze of glory if Jeremy and I have our way.
That would be radical.
When is the last show of that? Has it already happened?
September 30th.
Oh, man. So I could actually go see... I going to go see a Kitels show? I think I'm going to. Oh, I think I might.
We need to hop on a call and record a short little episode while you're watching Kitels to get your initial reaction of Kitels.
So here's a wild thought, and one that my wife will most definitely shoot down. But currently we have tickets for the 25th through the 29th, right, are the 4 days that we're going. But we're actually supposed to still be in Orlando because we have a, like, our stay ends, I think, on the 30th. So I could go do the final Kitels show.
Reporting live from Kitels.
Right, from the final Kitels. Nah, I'm probably... By the way, spoiler alert, probably not going to do that, but I got to admit, in the moment, it's kind of tempting me. So if you are a Kitels aficionado, get there or
get
be
square. Get there, yeah, or like, get square.
Like the square kite things, guys. It all works. It all
get
works.
It?
It's great.
You get it?
That's the joke.
Moving on, so one thing we didn't get to last week was the Hat Box Ghost will be coming to the Haunted Mansion in Walt Disney World in 2023.
Which, I mean, I'm having trouble getting hyped for the Hat Box Ghost.
Your stammering is like perfectly encapsulated how I feel about this. Because, like, the Hatbox Ghost is a Disneyland thing. Let it be a Disneyland thing. He's at the Disneyland Haunted Mansion. Give us the Shoebox Ghost or something, you know? Like, do something else. We don't need the Hatbox Ghost.
I'm not opposed to having the Hatbox Ghost, but at the same time, yeah, it just makes everything more... Everything is the same... And I don't really want everything to be the same. Like, I love that that a Phantom Manor exists, you know, that is a completely different take on the Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
And I wish that we had more things like that.
After D23, there was a very long Twitter thread that I was keeping up with that was talking about, I think it's either Phantom Manor or what's the Tokyo Disneyland Tower of Terror? The Hightower Hotel.
Yes.
One of those is the last original Disney IP in a park. So, like, D23, they were talking about adding this IP to all these different parks. And so this Twitter thread was happening where they were talking about, like, I wish I could remember. I don't want to, you know, waste time looking it up right now, but one of those IPs is the last, like, original in-park IP that was created, and they're both, I mean, it doesn't matter which one. Phantom Manor and the Hightower Hotel are both incredible, and either you're talking about the, you know, Shiriki Utundu,
yeah,
or you have the little cool little monkey guy who's causing havoc in the Phantom Manor. Like, both of those are such amazing takes on existing properties, where they said, yeah, we want to do this. We want to do Haunted Mansion, but we want to make it our own. Or we want to do Tower of Terror, but we want to make it our own. And they're incredible. Both of them are excellent. And yeah, so, like, you have these two excellent IPs, And then they're just taking the Hatbox ghost and moving it to Walt Disney World. And I just wish they would, you know, do something there. Like, the Haunted Mansion at Walt Disney World could use, you know, a new effect. But to do something that is original, to do something that is, you know, unique to Walt Disney World, like you have said for a long time, to create separation of the American parks, because all of the Asian parks have their own stuff, and Disneyland Paris has its own stuff. Like, Disneyland Paris, if you have never looked at Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at Disneyland Paris, it is awesome. You board the roller coaster, and then immediately go down, like you head down, go under the lake, and the entirety of the roller coaster is on an island in the middle of a lake. And even that is just, it's a game changer for that ride. Like, to have that where, like, the entire roller coaster is on an island in the middle of a lake is awesome. So all of these non-US parks have, you know, either completely different IPs based on a ride system or based on an idea. And then, you know, we have Disneyland, which has the Hatbox Ghost, which it was a really big deal when the Hatbox Ghost came back to the Disneyland Haunted Mansion.
Right, and they worked it out, and it worked really, really well.
It looks great, and I was stoked about that. I was really excited to see that someone had said, yeah, we need to get the Hatbox Ghost back. And they worked out the animatronic, and they made it look great, and they modernized it. Everything looks awesome. Do that for Walt Disney World, but do something else. You know, make, like, have a dog, have a ghost dog follow you the entire ride. You know, just something unique for Walt Disney World to make people on the east, or I'm sorry, to make people on the west side of the United States want to go to Walt Disney World to experience the Haunted Mansion there. And that, yeah. I mean, and again, I think the Hatbox Ghost is a really good effect. And especially the way that they redid it, it's really good. I think it looks great. It's super cool. If they could implement some sort of photo pass thing with it, that would be even better. But I have really come around to your point of view about wanting to take the Disneyland experience and the Walt Disney World experience, including California Adventure, which I do think that they're doing at California Adventure. You know, that's because they can use all the Marvel characters there. But I do think California Adventure is diverging from the East Coast Disney thing. But I really want Disneyland and Walt Disney World to be two completely different experiences. Because honestly, I would love to have a reason to go to Disneyland.
And the Matterhorn? I mean, that's not enough of a reason for you?
No, it's not. Honestly.
I know. Yeah.
But I would just love to have, like, you know, right now, Avengers Campus is not doing it for me. But I think it might in the future, you know, with more than just the Spider-Man stage show and the Toy Story Midway Mania ripoff that is the Spider-Man attraction. You know, right now, what's pulling me toward Disneyland is the Matterhorn. And honestly, it's the Matterhorn, Disneyland Space Mountain, which is vastly superior, and Pym's Kitchen.
And better pirates. And
pirates.
Better.
God, pirates is so much better.
And better, It's a Small World.
Yeah, I
just
did not.
Just because of the outdoor facade.
So like, I not gotten to do Small World at Disneyland. We didn't get a chance to do it. But yes.
Even if you just walk by, like, seeing that outdoor facade is extremely nice. So,
but golly, there is, pirates is so much better at Disneyland.
Yeah, there are. And all of that to say, yes, there are still differences. But
hey, Hey, one thing, I don't want to interrupt you, but don't let us get off this topic without me talking about, you saying Pirates at Disneyland reminded me of something I want to talk about. So don't okay. let's not leave this topic without
no, no,
me
I will, talking. I will not take us to, I will not take us to the next topic.
Okay.
Not to say that there aren't still differences, because there are many differences between the parks, even when you talk, you know, in this case, we're kind of talking Disneyland v. Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But the adding the Hatbox Ghost is just, it's increasing the homogenization, which feels mm-hmm. like the opposite of what we want to see. Magic Kingdom has its Haunted Mansion. So, yeah, if you're going to add something to it, rather than just adding something that was already at another Haunted Mansion, how about, you know what, just, this is my out of left field, Blue Sky. What about if we further embrace that whole wedding ring story? You know the wedding ring story with mm-hmm. Magic Kingdom, right? That came from the stanchion pole and thus the urban legend that it's the wedding ring in the concrete. Like, what if they took this thing that they've kind of taken into official lore and like built on that for Florida?
Well, and you already have a bride in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, exactly. But what if you changed it to add in some storyline about that ring, so that way it makes the ring even more legit.
Yep.
And there's a different storyline now at Magic Kingdom that is a reason to go ride the because I'm not even saying that it has to be an entirely different attraction.
It doesn't have to
better.
Be a showstopper type of thing. It just needs to be something different.
Right. Right. So I don't know. I just, like I said, I don't want to sound like I'm down on the Hatbox Ghost, because I'm definitely not. I just don't know that I'm super ecstatic about getting something that I can go to the other park and see if I really, really want to see it that badly.
Yeah, I totally agree. So you talking about Splash Mountain, or I'm sorry, you talking about Pirates in Disneyland. Reminded me of a conversation that Claire and I were having. And she said, for Splash Mountain, when in we didn't talk about last week, I don't think we talked about the fact that there's going to be a Tiana's restaurant that is, you know, associated with Splash Mountain over there when they change it.
Yeah, we didn't get to that, I don't think.
So, but Claire was saying, what if at Disneyland and Walt Disney World they did a Blue Bayou type thing and they added the restaurant onto the Splash Mountain, you know, building, basically, and one of those interior show scenes, they busted a wall out and basically and had an outdoor, quote, outdoor seating area for the Tiana's restaurant. And
that was right on the, that's basically
was on
right
the water.
On the bayou or something.
Yeah. And you had people cruising by on their log flumes as, you know, people ate their lunch or dinner or whatever at Tiana's restaurant. I think that would be awesome. And
okay, that's it. Go ahead. We'll take a quick pause. Jeremy's going to go get Claire. Claire is now my co-host on this show because Claire's got the really good ideas that neither of us are coming up with, because that is brilliant.
And
I love that.
And all her idea made me was depressed that we're not getting Tiana's restaurant at Walt Disney World. Why? Why are we not getting that at Walt Disney World?
But then we just got done talking about not wanting homogenization.
I know, but
I want to have my cake and I want to eat it too.
Yeah.
I get it.
I want the good Splash Mountain experience.
Right. I want the good. Yeah.
See, but the problem is with that is that Disneyland has the bad Splash Mountain. Disneyland Splash Mountain is not as good. It's shorter.
But they're gonna make them have the better Splash Mountain. They're gonna improve their Splash Mountain.
They get they get the good restaurant.
But that's kind of like where they had the bad tower because we had the better tower in Florida.
They changed it, yeah.
And then they changed it, and now it can be the really good Mission Breakout because it is the Mission Breakout. And
that's
That's
a good point. I have never thought about that way. They went from having the bad Tower of Terror to the really good Mission Breakout.
And even if you were to change Walt Disney World's tower, to Mission Breakout. I don't know that Walt Disney World would suddenly have the good Mission Breakout and they would have the bad Mission Breakout.
No.
Because Mission Breakout was designed around, you know, it wasn't them shoehorning something that was meant for something that was slightly different into what they could make work there. It was designed for, this is where we're going to put this. It's going to be in this kind of a ride vehicle with these constraints on it. And now the Walt Disney World one would be the one that's kind of like, well, we didn't really design it for this, for all this movement and stuff, but we'll try to add in some stuff, I guess,
well,
to make it work.
Because the California Adventure Tower was designed to fit into, I guess, a space that could not accommodate the fifth dimension.
Right.
And so you ended up with a neutered Tower of Terror compared to the Walt Disney World one. And if you tried to, I feel like it worked better removing the fifth dimension from Tower of Terror than it would to add a fifth dimension scene to Mission Breakout. Like, if they tried to figure out a reason for Mission Breakout to leave the elevator shaft and move slowly through
right, to
a thing,
to a whole different thing,
to
and
drop,
lock, and wait for the time to lock in and all of that stuff.
It just works so well in Walt Disney World. But that you make a good point. Like, that I think, Brad, you just completely changed my mind on Mission Breakout. Because I haven't always been, like, super negative on it, but it's kind of been like a, why, like, who cares? You know, why did they do that? But I think just the fact that WDI went in and said, you know what, we can take this from being a much worse version of a known entity, and whether or not they added IP to it is inconsequential to what I'm thinking
right
now.
That's a different discussion.
Yeah, but they took it from being a worse version of something to making it the best version of what it is, and it's good. I've never gotten to ride it. I've only been to Disneyland one time, and that was in 2013, and we were just there for a day. I've not experienced Disneyland fully, like the Disneyland Resort fully. But I have heard from friends of mine and a lot of people on the internet that Mission Breakout is great, and the queue is great, and the ride, you know, when you're actually in there and the shaking, like, because when you watch a video of it, it's hard to really appreciate the shaking of it because it seems like, oh my gosh, like that would just kill your back. But they said when you're actually in the moment and it really feels like you are attached to a jet pack that's basically keeping you, you know, in this one position for a second before you move up and then you fall. And like, they really did a great job of tuning the elevator shaft to, you know, feel
to
like
work
what
with the
they,
story that they
yeah,
had.
Yeah. And feel like what they want it to be. And yeah, man, you mark this date down in your journal or whatever, because you just blew my mind and totally changed my opinion on Disney changing California Adventure's Tower of Terror to Mission Breakout. Because
now Jeremy is completely convinced that Disneyland just moved a little bit further up in your list, right? Just a little.
Yeah. But yeah, I so wish that they would, at least at Disneyland, knock a hole out in the wall of Splash Mountain and add Tiana's Restaurant in, so that as you're walking by, or as you're riding by in Splash Mountain or Tiana's Bayou Adventure, you can hear the Zydeco music of Tiana's Restaurant, and you can look over and see people enjoying beignets or whatever they're doing. And that would just, I think even more than Pirates of the Caribbean, that would add such a level of authenticity to that attraction that it would, like, it would be meaningful. Because Pirates of the Caribbean, I think Pirates is more novel for the people who are eating at Blue Bayou, because they're like, oh, hey, look, those people are riding Pirates of the Caribbean. But when you're on Pirates, it's like, oh, cool, there's
that
a restaurant.
That doesn't really tell the, it doesn't
add
particularly
anything.
Serve the story of Pirates.
But when if you're on Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and you ride by the restaurant of the person in the attraction that you're learning about how she like came to be this person who is supplying food to other restaurants, and like she's this huge restaurant magnate and all this stuff, and you see her restaurant and you hear people enjoying themselves, that is like a meaningful addition to this attraction that I think in the past Disney would have like had animatronics. They would have had an animatronic Tiana's restaurant just to add that flair to the attraction.
Possibly they do.
But they could.
We don't know what all the scenes are.
They could add it for real and make it so much better. And I think that would be great. And I Mr. Chapek, if you're listening, please add
We're sorry about all the things we've said about you thus far. Now please add the restaurant.
I hope you, if you skipped the previous segment, I hope one of your friends told you to listen more. Please add that restaurant to Walt Disney World. Mr.
JPEG. Yeah. Jeremy really needs a restaurant.
We love your products.
Well, actually though, I mean, they kind of do. Like this, so this is not something that I think we've hit upon it here and there, but haven't particularly discussed. There's not a lot of this is Brad's opinion. TM.
Restaurants in the Magic Kingdom are trash. Is that what you're going to say?
There you go. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, but I was really trying to hedge it because I didn't want to pull you down with me.
Look, man, I've just been trying to plan a 10-day trip with my wife, and we have been struggling to find places to eat in Magic Kingdom.
I mean, Skipper Canteen.
Uh-huh.
And you like Be Our Guest, right? I was not a big fan.
No, we like Cosmic Rays for nostalgia reasons.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
Casey's Corner. I mean, we have so many quick service lunch places, but when we're trying to say, like, we have a Magic Kingdom day, where can we eat dinner?
Well, here's the thing. For me, if it's a Magic Kingdom day and I want to do dinner, typically we will do, like, a Skipper Canteen lunch. And then we'll do like a Pecos dinner is what we'll do.
See, we're doing a Casey's Corner lunch and then getting on the monorail and going to California Grill for dinner.
And that's exactly what I was about to say, because the other option is you leave the park for dinner because your table service options are what? Skipper Canteen, Cinderella's Royal Table, which I've only had one experience and I should probably give it a second shot. Probably won't because it's so freaking expensive, but overrated. Crystal Palace, which is character dining. Be Our Guest, which has never really worked for me.
And then you have Tony's.
And Tony's, which, honestly, Tony's was probably the worst table service restaurant. Like, not because of service, but because of the food was just, it was like overcooked pasta, underseasoned sauce. I cannot understand it because in my mind, everything, like if Disney does one thing well, it's consistency, right? Like if you go to Cosmic Rays and have a hamburger and then you go to Backlot over at Disney's Hollywood Studios and have a burger, it's pretty much the same burger, right?
It's the same burger.
It's the same burger.
It's cooked for down to the second, the same amount of seconds. Like, it is the same burger.
Right. And if you go to Mama Melrose's, extremely tasty.
Brad,
right?
I was just about to say that.
Extremely tasty
Italian
food. I was
just about to say that.
But
Mama
but
Melrose in
Tony's,
Hollywood Studios is far superior to Tony's in Magic Kingdom. Melrose rules, and Tony's is like a gotta miss, must miss Tony's.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe Tony's has redone things since I visited, but I'm probably not going to find out unless everybody at me if Tony's is now good, please, because otherwise, I'm not going to give it another shot.
I went there in 2007.
And haven't been back.
I'm never going to go back here. This is crappy Italian food.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say Fazoli's, but I don't even know. Like, do I want to dunk on Fazoli's like that? Because, I mean, Fazoli's is good.
Yeah, Fazoli's rules. Yeah.
I was trying to pick some like low tier Italian food.
It's so weird that like the flagship gate at Walt Disney World has the worst food.
Has the most uninspired food, I think, maybe. Yeah, also worst food because, well...
What's a great restaurant at Walt Disney, or at Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, I mean...
What's a great restaurant there?
Honestly, my favorite restaurant there is Skipper Canteen, right? And it's tasty, and they've got good stuff there, and it's a fun atmosphere, so I like it for all of those reasons. But if I put up Skipper Canteen against... Le Cellier or I guess Animal Kingdom might have trouble because Animal Kingdom is
definitely
another one.
Has trouble.
But Animal Kingdom at least has Tiffin's.
Look, it sounds right? like having Kingdom in the name just means
right.
bad
it's,
food.
It's not good for you. But I don't know. They could fix that. They could fix that. They could add Tiana's restaurant and fix that problem, I think.
To build up Magic Kingdom a little bit. Casey's Corner has excellent hot dogs. I think their hot dogs are really, really good. And the corn dog at dude, I have been sitting here thinking for the last like 1 minute. Like I gotta mention the corn dogs at Sleepy Hollow. Is that it? Yeah, Sleepy
yep.
Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
The corn dogs at Sleepy Hollow are really, really good. But other than that,
I still like Pecos because it gives you something different for a quick service.
Especially now that it's Mexican food.
Right.
Back when it was Cosmic Rays on the other side of the park, it was a tougher sell. But now that it's a Chipotle.
they still had like one or two things that were different than what you were going to get at Cosmic Rays. But yeah, I mean, Magic Kingdom is solid for quick service food.
Yeah.
But outside
for
of that, I don't know.
Quick service food. I think Cosmic Rays... One of the things that's nice about Cosmic Rays, you have an animatronic figure doing a show the whole time, and you can go watch it. And that's cool,
right.
You know, and it really fits into Tomorrowland. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it's really hard because, you know, we're sitting here going, okay, what do we want to eat on Magic Kingdom Day? And it's like, okay, Le Cellier, you know, let's... go to Epcot to eat dinner because there's nothing worth, you know, spending our money on at Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And it's not great because in that scenario, and I'm trying to think of a reason that Disney would have to add a good table service restaurant, a good dinner restaurant. And it's like, we're going to experience the fireworks from California Grill.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be in the park at night because we're going to do all our stuff throughout the day. And then at dinner time, we're going to hop on the resort monorail and go to either California Grill or Ohana and eat dinner there. And we're not going to be in the park late. And so... You know, thinking of it from a purely business perspective, I'm like, add a nice restaurant. Because, look, California Grill and even Ohana's prefixed, but it's still, what, $60 a person? Like, Ohana's not cheap. And California Grill is not cheap. But I go there because the food is really, really, really good. And... if they had, it doesn't have to be cheap. It can even be really, really expensive. But a place in Magic Kingdom that was table service, that was a good date nighty dinner type place. And I'm even talking like if you watch Princess and the Frog and you just look at the gold colored artwork, you know, that is Tiana's restaurant. Even if you don't take into consideration like the renders that they did in that movie. If you just look at that artwork, the gold artwork, if you recreated that restaurant in Magic Kingdom, then I think you could serve elevated Cajun food and you could charge a mint for it. And it would be IP based and you would get all your, you know, you'd have your cake and eat it too as Disney. You'd have IP based and you'd have a really nice fine dining restaurant. You could even go so far as to make it a Victorian Albert's type place where everybody right. wore tuxedos, and you set it in downtown New Orleans in the 30s or the 20s or whatever, like really, really like dig in and make it this like, make it this place that people talk about and charge $50 for a bowl of gumbo. I don't care. But make it a place that I want to eat. Make it a place that I want to experience. Because I've been to California Grill, what, 4 times? And I cannot wait to go eat there again. And I've been to Ohana the same amount. Like, we always do California Grill, Ohana, Kona even. I cannot wait to eat at Kona. And that's not even a table service place, but it's unique and it has really good coffee. And there are things about Kona that make it really good. And Ohana is this really fun atmosphere, even at dinner when there's no characters. It's a really fun atmosphere. Everybody really digs into the whole Hawaiian culture. California Grill is super upscale. The food is great. Even the pizza feels like man, I should be paying $50 for this piece of pizza because it's super good.
Spoiler alert, you're paying 60, but yeah. At least it feels like you should be paying 50 for it.
But do that in Magic Kingdom. Give me something. I want something. I want Disney. Listen to me right now. I want to spend a lot of money on dinner in Magic Kingdom.
And not have to leave the park to
please.
Do it. Because we are aware of all of the great stops along the monorail, but wouldn't it be more fun if I didn't have to get on the monorail?
But I want to have dinner at 7:30, leave dinner, and go watch the fireworks from the park.
Right.
I don't want to have to watch them from California Grill, which is great.
Yeah, not say, okay, it's time to go get dinner. Our day in the park is done.
I want to. I'll pay more. Please. Disney.
Jeremy will pay more. I will not pay more, but Jeremy will pay more.
I will. Hey. I'm a huge sucker.
And as we've seen, Jeremy is what? Jeremy reflects the wants and desires of quite a few people. So, you know, you can definitely take him. Meanwhile, I'm just wanting you guys to bring back Frontierland fries because I need to be able to get my McDonald's fries in the park. You know, but Jeremy wants his upscale dining. We all have our wants and needs for more dining experiences inside the Magic Kingdom.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.